Welcome to College Crosscast. I'm Ryan McDonald, joined by Saif Akadu and Jake Nazar as we shoot the breeze, like some breeze on a beach on a hot summer day. It's nice and refreshing.
It's not really College Crosscast.
Yeah, it's just these two wanted to do yet another show, and I said, yeah, I guess I'm down for it. So why not?
The commission's first meeting. That's what maybe that would be the new brand.
Look, we're preparing the people for news to come.
More content, more fun.
Yep.
And it was a great Euro final, you know? It was, you guys are always talking about soccer. I figure let's weave that into our off-season content.
Yeah, Euros were pretty good. I mean, I will say Jake could probably back me up on this, though it wasn't as good as the hockey game that broke out in Copa America last night.
Oh my God, seriously, like it's the Euros were surprise. Yeah, they were a really good tournament. But if you're like getting into soccer and you like, you know, want something that's not like soccer, you got to watch some like the Copa or the AFCON. Like AFCON's fun because they just do shit. Like they're just like just. Dudes are just trying shit like all the time. Just like playing a pickup game, which owns Copa America though. Like they're trying to kill each other. Like it's like it kind of causes amputations. It's incredible. Like if you really want to watch like soccer that's like approximating football, where there's just, you know, murder and violence. Yeah, you got some of the other tournaments that aren't like the Copa or the Euro or the World Cup are more fun because it's the quality isn't as good, but it's. It's just so much more fun watching dudes attempt violence on each other.
There's also the Gold Cup going on starting this weekend, but I mean, CONCACAF's
good too, though. CONCACAF's great for violence.
Yeah, and it also gets really kind of randomly funny with just how it's so bad it's good at times with CONCACAF.
Yeah, again, it felt like the referees are completely substandard. You know, you can find better ones at your local rec game. You know, I mean, it was just not ready for this. Just not ready for the moments at all. You know, there's a chance fans will start throwing, you know, batteries on the field, cell phones.
Mexico has a 2-match ban that has not been implemented yet.
Mexican fans, if Mexican fans throw bags of piss as opposed to do homophobic chants, that's a good, like, that's, like, when they're just, like, when they're when they're just throwing bags of piss, it's good. It's like, okay, all right, we got out of here, you know, unscathed.
That's a good day.
Could have been worse.
who's a more Philly fan base? Mexican, Mexico, Team Mexico fans or Team England fans?
Oh, Mexico's on a different level. Like, they're just... they're just like, England, Mexico's about that life constantly. Like, they're constantly like this. Like, England, you got to, like... You got to get them. You got to build them up to this stuff.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Like, they're not like this all the time.
Yeah, England has hooliganism, but it's kind of calmed down from what it used to be. Mexico, it's on brand at all times to the point where they announce about 6 times a match not to do those said homophobic chants, and they completely ignore every single goal kick.
It's awful. And then, like, El Salvador, like, when you get really into kind of, like, El Salvador, like, every time the U.S. goes to El Salvador, it's truly like just like get the helicopter ready. Just like get out of here. They throw batteries and stuff. It's like people are go crazy. It's
the mid late aughts did see a nice run. Ryan, you may remember a few of these hooligan soccer hooligan movies. I think there was one with Elijah Wood, wasn't there? I know there was definitely one with Danny Dyer. Just that, you know, kind of famous British actor. But I remember one, I think Elijah went to go visit his family in, like, London, and he got, like, you know, sucked into, like, the hooligan lifestyle. It was actually kind of entertaining, if I'm remembering it right. But
yeah, like, Mexico, like, CONCACAF is, like, hooliganism without, like, the, you know, tragic cost that England had. Like, England had, like, people start dying, and it's like, okay, well, shit. And like right at the height of like Thatcherism, where it's like we need to, you know, really clean up this country's image and everything. So that just, you know, calmed everything down. Like that hasn't come to the Americas yet. Like they haven't
just found it. Green Street Hooligans. Charlie Hunnam was in there. I was trying to remember. I was like, who is this Heath Ledger? Like, that knockoff is like too pejorative. But I was like, who is this Heath Ledger like doppelganger? Back in the day. But it was Charlie Hunnam's like first movie I ever saw him in. But Elijah Wood. So it's a good movie. Green Street Hooligans. I have watched several like CONCACAF and Copa games. Like a couple of my restaurants near me are like, Hispanic owned, and it is kind of crazy. I remember one time I walked in, I think it was a barbershop I went to, like Mexican cockfighting, like satellite TV. I was like, where am I? But it's always great seeing the Latin America, South America soccer matches.
I'll say, if you got to watch, I think it's, Ryan said it's on Fox Deportes.
Yes, 6 o'clock.
Oh my God. So it's this, El Chiringuito, and it's basically like the Stephen A. Smith of Spain.
No. Yeah, that's even underselling. It's underselling. It is literally the Stephen A. Smith of Spain with Obama era Fox News camera angles with like hands mixed with TMZ with the camera work, mixed with like, I don't know, with like 8 people talking at once. It is the greatest sports show of all time. Now, like, look, ESPN and NBC copying BBC's Match of the Day worked out great. It's great for American television. It's kind of refreshing based on our hot take culture to just sit down and discuss a game. But El Chiringuito out of Spain is the greatest sports programming show. It's indescribable. What Jake said and what I said still don't come anywhere close to selling what this TV show it is. It's on Mondays, Thursdays, 6 o'clock on Fox Deportes.
At the end of the Spain-Italy game, like when Italy beats Spain on penalties, like, they got one dude is out here who's like, we only played one good game, and it was against Yugoslavia. It's like, okay, well, that's not a country anymore.
Guy that invoked Martin Luther King because there weren't enough Real Madrid fights. And
that happened. So this one dude is like, I'm going to invoke Martin Luther King and say that I have a dream that the national team will not divide the country because like Real Madrid is, like they're the truly the pop, they're the royalty team of Spain.
Yes, and by the way, every panelist has a Barcelona or Real Madrid agenda, so there's that to it too.
So yeah, so like Real Madrid is like there weren't any Real Madrid players, so that we can basically saying that like they used Real Madrid to like divide the national team by not calling up any Real Madrid players, and he evoked Martin Luther King. And then the next night when England beat Denmark, another dude was bringing up Brexit, and he's like, England don't even want to be in Europe anymore.
I saw he's like, he shouldn't be at Wembley, right? Like, they don't want to be in Europe. They shouldn't have the soccer tournament final. That's great.
And of course, the one that originally began the meme of the host that just sits in silent, rubs his hands over and over again. Look back from like 2 months ago from the Champions League when Chelsea beats Real Madrid. And he's just going to Zapruder film on the on a former Real Madrid.
Chelsea, Eden Hazard.
Yeah, former Chelsea. Yeah,
Eden Hazard used to play for Chelsea. And, so Real loses to Chelsea and Hazard's like, hugging his former teammates and friends. And like they like just zoom in on this like dramatically. And he's like, this is what our, team has come to. This guy.
The other day they did it hilarious because like they introduced the panelists like a soccer starting 11. They cut it off short and did a dramatic video of Messi opening up his sweatshirt hood and everything.
It's
just incredible. And by the way, after the Stephen A. Smith's opening monologue where he always rips into somebody, they then in the complete mood flip introduce a woman named Sandra, who's like the social host, who checks social media and stuff, and she has her own theme song, and it's a complete 180 in tone. It's incredible television. Like, whichever sports network completely rips off this format, and it's going to be Fox. Mm-hmm. Like, Fox should absolutely ripped this off for 2022 in Qatar because.
Yeah, this is like what, who is it, like Jamie Horowitz when he, you know, one is like, let's embrace debate. This is embracing debate. Like these guys are embracing debate.
So who's this Skip Bayless? Or are they, is it all just Stephen A?
Yeah, it's all
both
it's Stephen A.
Both of them together.
Bayless, like all of it. Like it's just molding all of them together.
I didn't know if they had like a you know, with a square off type thing, Shannon.
Oh, they got like eight people on there. Like they got like
it's like a CNN full court panel.
Yes, like when they do election night in America, and they're like stretching the panel as far as can be, and there's, you know, like who is it? Friggin' David Axelrod is like just hanging on in the frame. Like that's what this show is.
Yeah. Yes, and every like 5 minutes there is an exclusive breaking news report as well. And we didn't even tell you the best part. This entire show has someone working a soundboard with dramatic music playing and sound effects after every sentence of a take. It is indescribable.
This is just a manosphere, you know, those like YouTube guys send into like sound effects whenever they do their monologue. Oh, great.
Exactly. Every time someone fish, yeah, or like when there's someone's coming in or they're cutting out. It's amazing. It's phenomenal content. It's truly.
What's it called again?
It's truly what I imagine a college crosscast on ESPN Plus being.
In our final form, exactly.
Yes. Every time Jake has a take, boom, sound effect. Every time Chris has an exclusive scoop, graphic pops up with dramatic music.
Funk Master Flex, the bomb. Well, what's the name again? The show?
No. El Chiringuito with a C, so it's like
Hey Jugadores.
Yeah, El Chiringuito de Jugadores. Yeah, it's on Fox. It's on Fox Deportes, actually.
Yeah, and you could probably find it with it every night at 6. Somebody's illegally streaming it from Spain on YouTube too, so it's not hard to find, really. But just incredible. It's like whoever completely copies this format is going to win all the Emmys.
Ryan should turn into like the host and just do like every time like a Big Ten or ACC thing comes up, just do the thing with his hands. or like when he can do this when Petro is hugging the Hopkins players next year, you know, like we can just dramatically zoom in,
yeah.
You know, Petro hugging Joey Epstein, and Brian can just be like, this is what Syracuse has come to.
This is why you don't hire.
Little boy cement in the background, end of the road or something, playing softly.
Sandra, what's going on in social media?
Y'all see Petra watch the game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is Italian, I think, right? He's got to be,
yeah.
No way Petra
that's what I was thinking, yeah.
But because Safe got emotionally invested in Euro 2020, he now has a new dilemma. He has to find a soccer team to root for now.
Yeah, so Safe has to find a soccer team to root for, and Ryan has to find a TV show to watch that he breaks down on whenever we do an off-topic podcast again.
Okay, so for Safe's, so just to help Safe, you know him as a Johns Hopkins fan. An alum. He has side interest in the 5 other Big Ten teams as well.
A friend to all.
I'm just picturing the scene in Tokyo Drift when the guy realizes that Han has like business going on behind his back. And Han just like, yeah, man, this ain't the Cub Scouts. This is what we do.
Safe with Johns Hopkins, plus the 5 other Big Ten teams, plus every other team in New Jersey and New York and Philadelphia.
And Syracuse.
And Syracuse.
And Notre Dame.
Yes. Probably getting invested in Boston College women's lacrosse to go along with Northwestern as well.
Ryan, did you go to a freaking party with the Penny yet?
No, it's going to be end of the summer, is that housewarming party. End of the summer, beginning of fall. But there will be visual evidence of that.
It better be.
Mm-hmm. So we know Safe is a Johns Hopkins fan. We know you root for your big Eagles fan. Presumably all the Philly teams, probably not as emotionally invested in the Flyers and Sixers. like a certain colleague of ours stupidly does. Is that true or not?
Oh, yeah. You know, definitely. I mean, playoff hockey is great. But, yeah, it's not about that.
You're not living and dying off the process like other people.
Oh, yes. When I was in Philly, I definitely was in this. But, yeah, once I moved to Trent, not as much. But, yeah, mostly not just Phillies and Eagles.
Okay, so Phillies and Eagles.
So the Eagles are like, who are the Eagles of like soccer? So they got to be, you know, the fans have to be crazy. The team has to be like most often losers, but like one time they won.
well, Liverpool wouldn't count because they have the Champions League titles to go with the one and only Premier League title. Fans are crazy. I feel like Arsenal's won too much.
Yeah, they won too much. Well, there was one that came to mind, but I'm not gonna get too incendiary, so I won't mention them.
Are we doing all of Europe or just
the... Yeah, so I was thinking Lazio before I realized Lazio's a little too on the fascist end.
Yeah.
they get out there. So I think like Roma.
Atletico go Madrid.
Maybe not the top tier of Polish team.
Roma I was thinking maybe Atletico Madrid.
No, they're
I'll give you guys some to help you the suitor search.
All right. Well.
I think it should be an English team, just because I would like to be able to follow that. I mean, I know that's maybe xenophobic, but like, you know,
no, it's easy. Yeah, it's like, access. It's on NBC. It's
definitely. I think that would help. EPL definitely something.
So the closest EPL equivalent to like the Eagles is like a Newcastle.
It does. That was the other. It doesn't have to be like. That's why I kind of did like Chelsea. I know that's like. It really does fit. It fits because I was like.
Well, here's the thing with
you with LJ. That makes it even better. That makes me even like more like I'm like sure of my choice here. I was like I like the crest. I can't even lie. Blue is my favorite color. Blue Jays is just like it's either blue or black. That's the only thing I ever wear.
There's only so many blue or black teams in England, so everyone else is
good. I was like, and honestly, maybe not the most popular thing, but I was like, I do kind of like Roman. That does seem like you got that play.
No, yeah, well, I mean, when it comes to Blues, it's either, you know, Chelsea or Leicester, or God forbid you root for Everton and suffer through all that.
Yeah, it's not worth it. They feel a little too new money for saves. You know, it's safe.
Jake and I always discuss, like, look. Cross to EPL program equivalents. I feel like Hopkins, take your pick between what, United or?
Yeah, Hopkins is definitely Manchester United, like 1,000%.
Well, who's more United, Syracuse or Hopkins? And who's more Arsenal, Syracuse or Hopkins?
Syracuse is more Arsenal because Syracuse has the purity test element. Like, we gotta play nice, you know. We gotta go score 20 goals, cause you know, like Arsenal fans think they have some like, you know, like truly sick, twisted people think they have some like, you know, like obligation to like the country to provide some, you know, the beautiful game. While Syracuse fans, you know, are all like think like watching Syracuse in the 90s was God's gift to lacrosse, and that it, you know, fundamentally, it was like it fundamentally changed the country to watch Syracuse play lacrosse in the 90s. So yeah, Syracuse is definitely more Arsenal.
Yeah. So then, yeah. So
United they just wanted to win, but now they don't win as much.
Right. So that's a good equivalent. Hopkins and United haven't done crap in a long time. Obviously, I would say Liverpool and Maryland. Sorry for offending you, Jake, but that's a kind of good equivalent. They've gotten good again in the past decade after a little bit of a disappointed time. Yeah, back to glory.
I mean, it hurts me, but I can I can see that one. Yeah.
Then I don't know. Would Chelsea be more Duke or more Virginia?
Actually, Maryland's kind of like a Juventus. Mm. You know, like Juventus, like Maryland dominates the Big Ten. Much like Juventus dominates Italy, and Juventus always gets to like the like Juventus is like Juventus and Maryland's like Juventus in the Champions League has won like the final twice and lost like eight times, which is very similar to Maryland's championship game record, which is something like 3 and 337. So Maryland also fit, yeah. So yeah, if we're sticking to England, yeah, Maryland's kind of similar to Liverpool. But yeah, like all of Europe, yeah, Maryland actually I think is quite similar to Juventus. That's a similar one. And then you've got you know, like Princeton's like West Ham. I mean, they won more, but you know, you gotta really just like be old to, you know, still care about that.
Does it make Cornell Villa?
Actually, no. So it's like Villa and Nottingham Forest. That's Cornell and Princeton.
How about Newcastle? When Princeton
Newcastle is, I don't know. Who's like, who's got, that's not bad. Who's got passionate fans, tends to be kind of fun to watch, and also hasn't won crap in, like, ever. But come close. Like, occasionally comes close.
Yeah, I guess Navy could, but you
guys. Yeah, got Navy more. Or,
Thinking.
So yeah, gotta come close. You know, if they hadn't won the championship, I think Loyola would have been a good. Cause yeah, you know, got like very passionate fans. Kind of off the radar though. Occasionally they come close. You know, Loyola made a couple Final Fours every now and again, but then they won a title, so that doesn't fit Newcastle.
Well, I mean, Newcastle won back in the day.
I don't know. I'm free for really. If they never win. Yeah, won. No, like that's their thing. They literally never win.
Oh, then, yeah.
They're like around sometimes, but Everton won a few pre-Premier League.
So that might be a good Navy.
Yeah, Everton's like Navy. They won a long time ago. People like them predominantly because they don't win. No disrespect to the service academies. They're awesome. But if, like, y'all would like them way less if they actually started winning a lot.
Oh, yeah. Once they became much more of a threat. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like, imagine if, like, Navy started making Final Fours. People would be like, hold on a minute now. I don't know if I like you as much.
They're all on scholarships. This isn't fair. Exactly.
Is Harvard Darby County?
Darby County.
Get Wayne Rooney in there.
Who spends money like and
let me. Did Darby County even survive relegation from the championship this year? I gotta check that out.
I don't know, but yeah, it's like whatever team you find that like spends money and starts making you convinced that like, I don't mean this in like Harvard's paying players, but you know, Harvard recruits well. So that's like the equivalent in soccer of like spending money in the transfer market, you know, like, and then raises your expectations and then nope, but that doesn't quite happen.
English League Championship. Did Derby County get relegated? I think they just survived.
So yeah, so and then let me think. Cornell also kind of fits as like Tottenham, you know. They come around, they play nice, they don't win anything.
Their fans are everywhere.
No, not really.
Derby County did barely. They retained their place in the championship, because they did not appeal a fine levied for accounting irregularities.
Wait, so they stayed up or they got relegated?
No, they stayed up in the championship because they didn't appeal a fine about for accounting irregularities.
How did they stay up because they didn't appeal a fine?
That's a good question.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, because the EFL didn't appeal it.
Oh, okay. Well, I still don't. That still doesn't really make any sense.
Wayne Rooney, not trying to cook the checkbooks a little too much.
yeah, Tottenham, you know, Ryan's team is Tottenham. They don't win anything, ever. They, you know, like to convince themselves that even though they don't win anything ever, they're, like, special, you know, for some reason. they're, you know.
Well, thank you for saying Cornell instead of Notre Dame.
Is Notre Dame Tottenham? Yeah, I mean that's a good fit. Yeah.
Any complaints? Please reach out to Chris at Chris_Jazz. J A S T.
Notre Dame also. Yeah, we could see that as Tottenham. I could see that one. Yeah, look, no, look. If safe. I got no problem.
Chelsea.
I think. I think it. I was like the Abramovich thing really does push it over the edge. You know, I think.
Yes.
I think
I can. There's nothing you love more than evil Russian oligarchs.
Russian oligarch gangsters. I told you that one. You know, the Jack Ryan spinoff one with Chris Pine and Keira Knightley, they had a Russian like main villain. I was like, that reminded me of Abramovich. But I think also the guy from Tenet, like Abramovich, was also kind of loosely based on him. So I was like, all right, maybe we got to learn a little bit more about this guy. So, Jake, like, I'm good.
You either like in as far as ownership goes, you either got like Abramovich, sovereign wealth funds. Like Man City is literally Man City is literally owned by the UAE. Like just.
Yeah. And they've been able to win everything except for the Champions League, which
or then, is or then you've got life. then you got Liverpool, who are owned by the freaking people who own the Red Sox. Which is awful.
You got Man United, who's owned by the people who own the Bucks,
and Liverpool and Man United, because they're American sports centers, they don't want to spend any money and they just want to, you know.
Then you got Arsenal with Kroenke.
Also, yeah, owned by another guy who doesn't want to spend any money. You know, these guys are all cheap. And
now it's hilarious because now the Colorado Avalanche have fallen completely into the Arsenal trap. Which, by the way, the Kroenke's family also owns. They also own the Denver Nuggets. You know what happened to the Denver Nuggets in the NBA playoffs this year? They went full Arsenal. Nuggets went full Arsenal. Avalanche went full Arsenal. The disease is spreading.
Yeah. Arsenal and Tottenham fights are always my favorite because it's like two people, you know, pointing pea shooters at each other. It's like
Tottenham's owned by some group where the owner of it feels like he has to be the GM of the team. There's no GMs in soccer, but that doesn't stop Daniel Levy.
Yeah, Tottenham's great. Tottenham had the equivalent of like the Virginia coaching search this year. Like they reached out to like 7 different people. And it all like played out horribly in public. I mean, I don't except I don't think they hired Lars. Except I don't think they hired Lars Tiffany. Except Nuno does give off Lars vibes. Just like smiles a lot, you know. Talks nice, but just without the, you know, the ruthless Lars edge to you know, that undercuts the NPR. Radio host.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Jake, I'm gonna go with. I think I'm going. I'm diving into Chelsea end of the poll. What's the season? I love to see it. Exactly. What's the season here? Right, August to May. So this is the right time to get in, right?
The season will start. I'm gonna look at the date exactly. It always starts in August. The season will start on August 13th. So like in a month.
All right.
And then, this will, you know, appeal, be right down your alley. All the games are on NBC or Peacock.
Well, at least for next year.
I guess
NBC would actually fight to keep these rights, but who knows with their current strategy of kind of getting out of the cable game. So we'll see. And you got to imagine ESPN, CBS. Maybe Fox are going
to
be
CBS and ESPN are really trying to get back in the soccer game. But yeah, so for now it's on NBC. It'll be on USA because NBC Sports. When is NBC Sports officially gone? Is that the end of the year?
I think it's the end of the year. They were floating around the end of the Olympics, but now I've heard end of the year.
Okay, so if it's the end of the year, then yeah, so it'll be on NBCSN and Peacock. And then once the year turns, it'll be on USA and Peacock and the Champions League, which Chelsea will be in. Also, Chelsea won the Champions League this year, so best team in Europe. That is on Paramount Plus. For pretty much, like, some of the games are on CBS Sports Network, but most of the games, are on Paramount Plus.
CBS, actually, out of nowhere, very good soccer
CBS has everything in soccer. Like I have to play for Paramount Plus because they have like Asian qualifying, and I got to, you know, let my dad not have to find like illegal streams of wrong games.
Yeah, but no, but I'm saying like CBS actually put together a pretty good halftime show.
Oh yeah, CBS's soccer coverage rules. It's just not on TV.
It's just not on TV. It's just kind of hard.
It's actually very good. The coverage is, they do a really good job.
Which again, Fox, if you notice, ESPN has great, NBC has great, CBS has great. It's time to lean into El Chiringo.
Fox is awful. But no, like the CBS picked up on the appeal of soccer. Really, is that it's literally on all the time. And what else are, you know, millennials in the U.S., you know, they just like having stuff to watch just at any random time. You can find a soccer game on at any time of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you really, one thing I have found. Like, at any time of the day, there will be a game on if you want to find it. It's
the no commercial things. I mean, it's obviously it's the most obvious thing that anybody says. But, yeah, the no commercial thing.
Oh, yeah, soccer,
that's pretty great.
That's the real appeal of it is that you can find it at any time, and you're in and out in like
two hours.
You're just done. It's sweet.
Yeah, it's like today's Euros. That's as long as it's going to go, is 2.5 hours.
Yes, you will never be there longer than 2.5 hours. Like you're just, you truly can like know when you're like, yeah, you watch a football game and you're like, oh god, you know, you're gonna be here for, yeah,
especially
for,
like, college football, you might be there 4.5 hours.
Oh. Yeah, a soccer game can start at 2:30, and you can guarantee your friends you will be there for dinner at 5:30.
Oh yeah,
some of those
SEC games, like five-hour long.
Yeah, the SEC on CBS and Big Noon Saturday.
Game starts at 3:30. It runs into NCIS at 8:00. I mean, it's just.
I mean, thankfully, we only have, what, 3 more years? There's such a long lame duck period with the SEC on CBS that I just hope they just punt it to ESPN as soon as possible. But
you could watch all of Gone with the Wind and the SEC game would still be going.
Yes. You could watch the Snyder Cut and it'll still be going.
Yeah, there's 3 more years of the SEC and CBS.
God willing, this is the last, and they give up the act and just give it to ESPN. You see, but then you still got Big Noon Saturday on Fox and their 5-hour games. Mm-hmm. Well, their commercials.
All right, Ryan, it's time for us to find you a TV show.
Okay, so for full disclosure, I actually binge watched something this weekend, the first season and the start of the second season of I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. Oh. Because, I mean, the episodes are only 20 minutes long, so it's very easy to digest. But it's hilarious.
Go ahead, please. Let's get, let's empty out the...
Yeah, when
see where we're starting at. Let's see where we're starting at.
I'm going to do a new season. I'm going to do a trial of Apple TV Plus when the new season of Ted Lasso comes out later in the month. And have I mentioned this show from Spain called El Chiringuito de Jugadores?
All right, so... Yeah, so you're gonna watch this show, I will deal in that we will watch it with you, and so like by the next time we come back together to record one of these off topic podcasts, we can review it as a group.
Definitely.
Right, I'll put my own money in. I'll put sweat equity.
Exactly. We'll dedicate page views to this, or, you know, like views to this. So that's really the only measure of commitment in the digital age.
All right, so I guess we start with what me and Safe like watch, so that maybe that can or have been watching, so that can give you some ideas. All right, Safe, what have you been watching lately? What are your go tos? What are your go tos?
I mean, I was a big fan of Yellowstone, and I kind of, speaking of Paramount, I did binge those first 2 seasons, and then, like, season 3 was, during the pandemic, so I watched that a lot. I mean, like, because I do definitely do like a lot of comfort TV watching, like watch Veep or 30 Rock over and over again. But I was trying to think. I did watch the only TV shows, right? No movies.
Those movies is a bridge too far for me.
Definitely.
No, it's only 2 hours.
I'm trying to think of shows. I mean, I did run back the People versus OJ while I was in Iceland, which was great. Well, that also because of the licensing thing when you're abroad, which is just like, you know, infuriating. The Boys. Oh yeah, The Boys definitely. It was a great show. That was recent. That was really good. Big fan of that. A little bit long, but first season definitely it was great. It cracked. It was really, really, really good. I mean, Jake and I did a deep dive of Justified, but that may be too many seasons for you, Ryan. But Letterkenny, but that's already something you probably already watched. That most recent.
Yeah, I watched that off and on. So.
I'm going through my apps, the ones I want, you know, Peacock and Prime and Hulu, and but it's like all, like I said, like a bunch of shows, you know, kind of just like watch anyway, you know.
I think comfort shows could work for Ryan because he doesn't have to like devote time and energy to it.
Righteous Gemstones, that's kind of fun, just because people were like shouting out lacrosse. I think one of the side dudes is a lacrosse fan. Actually, kind of retweeted a couple of our stuff. Also, you know,
that has potential. You know, I think I've seen some clips from that. It looks pretty funny.
McBride is, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, McBride, Sean Goodman. That's a pretty good cast.
Walton Goggins.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was the other one. I was just at Goggins. And Goggins also with the teacher, right, Jake? That the teacher.
Yeah, vice principal.
McBride, vice principal. That's also.
I think
really
we might have an early favorite here. Righteous Gemstones on HBO. I don't know. I've heard good things about Succession, but I don't know if that's going to be one of those types of shows where you get tired of, like, I don't want to watch rich people problems by, like, halfway through the season where you're kind of then kind of, you know, struggling to get through.
That's the thing. Like, I refuse to believe that, like, 20 to 30-year-old people on Twitter have this much interest in a show about rich people.
this is a safe place, right?
Yes,
because I have kind of a fan of Succession.
I'm not surprised that you like it. I'm just like, there's just so many people on Twitter who I'm like, the stuff you tweet about all day lends me like you actually watch this. You like this show? Doesn't?
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, the smash capitalism crowd that loves Succession.
What? You do realize what we're like the topic of the show is, correct?
These are the oligarchs you're searching for, right here. But the first season is actually pretty good, Ryan. But Brian Cox like kills it, so that
can't go wrong with Brian Cox. He's the man.
Peg that in at number two for now. I think Righteous Gemstones out of the HBO bunch would be number one. And by the way, if anyone suggests Game of Thrones, no. I watched it on and off, and it's like, no. It's a show that source material is nerdy as hell, but we're going to add murking main characters every other episode and having them bang one another, including the one that looks like a 14-year-old in the penultimate episode.
All the Game of Thrones jokes you could possibly can. Like, when that show slapped, man, that show fucking slapped.
I am not investing all that time and energy.
No, look, it's you gotta invest, like, but like a couple summers ago when I had nothing, like I ran through that whole thing, and like on, like when it really got up in gear, it slapped. Now when it sucked, boy, it sucked.
No. Like, up to, I'll even go when Charles Dance got that, it was still humming. But Rob Stark, like Dance, like I'll watch anything that they're in, but like the late, really late eras, like essentially if it's not Jamie, and probably Cersei, like, and something else, like Shot Caller. Jamie was in Shot Caller. I love that movie. So I'll watch about it. It's like, if I see people like from Game of Thrones, like the last season, I'm like, I just can't do it. I just can't. I just won't watch it now.
Like, season one is good. And then late season two into season three through like six, or like early six. Like, I'll even go end of six with like when Cersei becomes queen.
Yeah.
That's like legit amazing TV. That really is as like good as people said. Like Charles Dance talking about how good Robb Stark is at war. Like, I can just watch, like, I'll just all that. Just give me all
while
that.
While he's gutting a deer, like really struggling with it. I was like, oh man, this is good TV.
When all his lieutenants are just being like, the young wolf, this guy, he's nobody. And then Charles Dance just looking at him, I'm like, did he not whoop your ass like three straight times?
They have my son.
God, that crap owns. But then once we get into like season seven, and it's it becomes basically about like Jon and Daenerys. Mm-hmm. And it's less about. And it's less about like Arya traveling through Westeros or like Jaime and everything. Yeah, like once we focus on like those two, it starts to kind of, it goes downhill. Like season seven, we're going downhill, and then eight, we're full on into the, we're off the rails here. We've lost.
It's just like, yeah, it's like flight. It's just like straight. We've
truly lost it. We've lost it, folks. It's gone. So I'm like, would I ask you to devote the time for that? No, but like, if you ever get the free time, it is really good until it's not, and then it's like, yikes, it's bad.
Alrighty, I'm trying to think.
What have I watched? I co-signed Justified completely. I think Justified would be good because it's, on the one hand, there's enough like episodes where all that happens is they just like talk and Raylan goes and catches a bad guy that like you can just easily breeze through that. But then there's also when it really gets good, it's just some of the best TV ever. So I co-signed Justified. My comfort, like true Burn Notice, is my just ultimate comfort show. I can watch like 15 episodes of that shit in a day. That's just tremendous. Like that's awesome. Ryan, you have to devote like minimal attention to that. Like there's just, you just sit there and all you have to do is watch it and you'll just laugh. You got Bruce Campbell, like, who owns. And then you got Jeffrey Donovan.
It's basically on USA Network at any given moment when wrestling's not on, right?
Well, it's off now. It's been off for a while. But yeah, it used to be like it's the USA Network show. Like, if I distilled a USA Network show into one show, that's it. And like, Jeffrey Donovan does a bunch of accents. Like, one time he pretends to be the devil, like, and just blows shit up, and it's like, it's rules. So, you can, that one would be gone at any point. I finished Lucifer the other day. The early parts of that, I think, are easy for you to get into because it's like story of the week. As it gets later on, it becomes more serialized and better. But I recommend that. But you gotta, it's a specific kind of crowd. I don't know. That probably wouldn't be your thing. But I really like it. And what else? The Thick of It.
Yes.
That could be up your alley, Ryan. Like, that's...
Yeah, like, no. That's, it's serious. Short, especially the first three seasons are like three episodes, 20 minutes each. It'd be
exciting. Wait, is that the British Veep that you guys have been talking about?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like Terry Coverley, you said, like, Justified, this is a double stamp. Both Jake and I highly recommend.
If you want to watch Veep with more swearing and just like probably even funnier, that's like,
yeah, European references that are like, pretty obscure. This is kind of up your alley.
Yeah, I think you would love that one.
What does that stream on?
Hulu.
Right now, yeah, I moved from HBO Max to Hulu. So.
Yeah, like the first like season one is 3 episodes. The episodes are 29, all 30 minutes. And then season two is 5 episodes, but they're still all like half an hour until the last two, which are an hour. Yeah, that one's hilarious.
I did like City on a Hill. It's a little bit of a drama set in the, I think, 80s in Boston. So, but Bacon is in it. And this one African-American actor is great. Aldous Hodge. I think he was in Straight Outta Compton. But great. It's just like Boston cop. Bacon's FBI, kind of corrupt FBI investigator. But it's a really good show. I think it's only 2 seasons in, but like a... I think it's Showtime if you have that, but if you're looking to dramas. You're comedy, right? Like, I'm not trying to pin you down or anything.
Yeah, I know you're not prefer, easy watching. I'm not really big into wanting to watch dramas.
Because everybody's been talking about summer, MODOK. Like,
what?
Have you heard of the show MODOK? People have been, that's also on Hulu, but. It's cartoony, but it's like superhero a little bit. It's like
it's not up my alley either.
Exactly. I was going to say, there's a Harley Quinn show on HBO that's hilarious. Yeah, super, but yeah, this is just like a, I think this is just like a Marvel's version of that, that's what I'd say. So I'm sure you wouldn't like it.
If you're looking for funny, Burn Notice would, yeah, like your Burn Notice would fit that. Light Watch, Lucifer's pretty funny that I mentioned. That's a Light Watch. What else do I have that's would kind of fit in that? Thick of It would fit in that.
Yeah, Thick of It.
Definitely.
That would definitely fit in that for sure.
Maybe let's start with the Righteous Gemstones.
Okay.
9 episodes, that's manageable. Hour-long tops.
McBride's a known quantity. You know, you like...
McBride's a known quantity. John Goodman, too.
Yeah, Goodman's a known quantity.
And one of my boys from Workaholics is in it. The third brother. Or, you know, the second brother. No, this is a good one. I'll jump back into it because I think I stopped around like episode 6 of season 1. But
yeah, so I'm just gonna finish up. I Think You Should Leave. Should probably get that done by the middle of the week, and then I'll move on.
Did you get to the banana episode? Right, that was great.
For season 2, not yet.
Oh no, I think it's season 1, right? He crashes through the.
Yeah, that's a hot dog.
Hot dog. Why did I say banana? I think it's the shape. But yeah, that's, we're all trying to find out who did it.
You know, to be topical, that we're all trying to find the guy who did this thing really reminds me of when Chris started bringing up the people were disrespecting Jeff Teat.
the big meme on PLL Twitter.
When Chris started bringing that up, I was like, really?
Yeah. PLL Twitter, this new meme is like talking about the vicious list of people who doubted Jeff Teat. And right. Then Chris jumps in. And of course, the joke about it is Chris is the only person on the face of the planet who ever doubted Jeff Teat.
Absolutely.
So Chris is definitely Tim Robinson in the hot dog suit. Asking
Chris is like, Chris is OJ trying to find a real killer.
He's gonna write a book about it.
If I were a Jeff Teat hater, that's
what. I will use it based off of footage, based off of one scrimmage that my elite Catholic prep school in Philadelphia played
Well, like the crazy thing with that is he did that after his freshman year. I think it was at the end of the season. And like Jeff T at the last game of the season put up 12 points against Princeton.
And wait.
As a freshman, like his first three games, like weren't great. He had 3 points in three games, and I'm pretty sure Chris was like, "Oh, I guess he's overrated." The next game, he had 11 points against Virginia. Like his last, Jeff Teat's last, he had played. How many games did Cornell play in 2017? They weren't good. They played so Jeff Teat's lost 10 games. He got 69 points.
I am convinced that Cornell's win over Syracuse in the quarterfinals.
No, he was one of before in the that.
First round. Yeah, in the first round was because they hung up Chris's quote in the Cornell locker room at Teat's locker.
Maybe a little overrated. I'm like,
Why? Because
he had 72 points. I remember we went through it like, that's a lot of points. Then we looked and it's like, oh, he only played. He played way less games than everyone else.
Why? Because
he's averaging like 6 points a game.
Why? He didn't score 8 points against LaSalle Academy, LaSalle Prep, when the Hill Academy played them in a scrimmage or whatever the hell the case was.
Was Jeff T the Hill Academy guy?
I think Jeff T was the Hill Academy guy. But wasn't the story that Chris's high school team played Jeff Teats and
Chris wasn't
impressed or something like that?
I have no idea. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Like, he just came out, it's like, Jeff Teats a little overrated. It's like, what?
I actually remember that pod because there was like a pause. And everyone was like, really? We're going there?
Yeah, the only other people of underrated Jeff Teat were the Toronto Committee in 2019.
And the Tuaratan
Committee. Sorry, 2018.
And the Tuaratan Committee underrates a lot of players, so.
You know who didn't doubt Jeff Teat? Three guys on this podcast. That's for damn sure.
That is true, yeah. I've never underrated Jeff Teat at all.
Not once in my life.
I'm pretty sure I even said correctly that he should be the number one pick in the draft this year. I would have picked him number one over Sowers. I think he did. Yeah, like I would have, and I love Mike, but yeah, I would have picked Teat over Sowers if I'm running a PLL offense, which considering the differences in the league, which I'm excited to get into that with our next guest on Thursday.
Yes.
It'll be fun to ask him about the differences between PLL offenses and college offenses and kind of how they kind of run and operate.
Yeah, so we'll keep that under wraps till we record on Thursday. But you're in for a treat, everybody.
Absolutely.
Other various odds and ends that we want to discuss. Other sports going on, I guess.
Yeah, Ryan. I was thinking I had this show. I don't know if I've been watching it. It's kind of quiet. I don't know if you know much about it. It's called Drive to Survive.
Ah, yes. Drive to Survive. That's
I don't know.
That's what we got to get Safe into.
Yes, Safe. Yes.
You got to become a Formula One fan like us. And Drive to Survive on Netflix is by far the gateway drug you need to become an F1 addict.
Alexi picked up that show as well. I watched it.
It is truly not like I've never seen like F1 like went from doing like for example, like F1 like 2 years ago was doing like the national championship lacrosse game ratings like left.
And it was like, on ESPN proper, too. This isn't like what back in the day when it was on Speed Channel.
Now, part of this is because the races are on at like 9 a.m. in the morning. But still, these things were doing 200,000 and 300,000 like viewers. And then all of a sudden during the pandemic, like one person was like, I'm going to watch Drive to Survive. And then he told his friend. And then that friend told his friends. And all of a sudden, this thing does like 1 million viewers a week now in the morning. Like,
it's beating I've never seen a sport.
Like, it has completely blown up in like a year entirely because of the Netflix show. Like, it's amazing.
And thankfully, people have realized the whole appeal of the Netflix show is the soap opera portion, and they've carried it on to watching Formula One, because if you're watching Formula One for the actual races, you're doing it wrong. Because races suck. Like,
if the new rules, like, actually, because truly, there's nothing better, like, a true F1, like, championship fight that goes down to the wire, like, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, there was one year when Lewis Hamilton beat Felipe Massa in Brazil.
The last turn of the last race. And then, like, 2010 had, like, five different dudes who could have won the championship in the last race. So, yeah, like, if the races are actually good next year, it's just going to blow up even more. Because then people are going to be like, oh, I actually got to watch this for, you know, the entire time. But yeah, it blows my mind. Like every other sport, like, the one sport in the U.S. that is, like, truly blown up in the last, like, 2 or 3 years is...
Most niche of all niche sports, Formula 1.
Like, F1. All because of that Netflix series. I've never actually watched it. I don't think I've ever watched an episode of it. Like, and the thing is, once you get into Formula 1, you are going to watch it less because you realize so much of it is just truly dramatized. And, like...
Yeah, like, if you saw the clip of Romain Grosjean's terrible crash last year in Bahrain, they really take a lot of liberties into that, making you think that he was stuck in the car for 15, when in reality he was pulled out within 30 seconds.
Like Carlos Sainz and Lando Norris are great friends, and the Netflix series is like, so you guys hate each other, right? But, like, it works. It's truly...
So much to the point that NASCAR's finally admitting that they have to copy it with a show that's going to be on USA next winter.
The thing is, you can't just, like... You can't just do it and be like, well, sure, we're just going to do a Netflix show, and that's going to, you know, be our, like, ticket in. But if I'm any sport that's, like, any niche kind of sport, the PLL even, like, they're the model of, like, so can we get to 1 million viewers? I don't know, but I didn't think F1 could. And, like, now they do, and they do it at, like, friggin' 9 a.m. in the morning.
And just like soccer, safe. Commercial free.
Yes, that's a big part of it. A big part of it is
like NASCAR and IndyCar. There's commercials every 10 laps. Formula One, straight through, no commercials.
Yeah, like that's a big part of it. You get in there and you sit down and you're done in like an hour or an hour and a half. I guess I think the race.
Yeah, yeah. The maximum a race can run is 2 hours without red. So you're in and out
of there like 90 minutes. And the thing, like, part of it, like, in some ways, it benefits in the morning because you watch the race at 10 and boom, it's noon. You just, now you can do whatever you want the rest of your day. That's a huge part of it. Yeah. Also, I think another big part of it, I think it has really cornered the market of, like, dads who have to, like, wake up with their kids and can just put the race on. Yeah.
So much
of the Twitter is, like, dads.
Yeah.
We're just like, I'm already up with my kid. It's race day.
And ESPN carries the Sky Sports. Sky Sports does a great job with one exception. Caring way too much about George Russell because he's British.
Yeah, George Russell is like the lacrosse equivalent of...
The F1 equivalent of...
Yeah, the F1 equivalent of... I can't...
Aaron Judge on the MLB on Fox when you're watching a game that has absolutely nothing to do with the Yankees and
where's Pookie?
Schultz brings him up out of nowhere every game.
Yeah, find your like lacrosse team that like everyone he's the F1 equivalent of the SoCon.
The High Point lacrosse.
Is he good? Yeah, but like, should there this much attention be paid? No.
Especially when he's running for like 13th.
Yeah, he's running for like 13th. And when he gets out of the race, it's like the like full on like mourning. We've lost George Russell. It's
like, okay. last week when Fernando Alonso passed him for the final points position, you just heard the dejection.
Pure dejection. It's like, Jesus, guys. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, drivers. I never want. Yeah, safe. You should. That should be yours.
Yeah, Jake and I in the past have also talked about how every F1 driver's origin stories, with the exception of like Hamilton and Alonso, are just like, yeah, these are all people that have just tons of money and are complete.
Yeah, they're all rich. They're all rich.
They're all miserable, and it makes for great entertainment.
So is this like a Hard Knocks Life with F1 cars?
It's Hard Knocks on steroids.
Oh, even more. Okay, right on. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's there. Well, the cool things about it, one, are you get pure unfiltered access because F1 doesn't depend on. They have so much money, they don't have to worry about any one specific money.
Mm.
You know, like NASCAR is a good, NASCAR is so dependent on sponsorships and they need all their sponsors so much. They don't want to piss off any one sponsor. F1 has so much money, they're like, okay, we'll just find someone else who's going to give us a bunch of money. So, they make the teams give complete unfiltered access.
The first season, Mercedes and Ferrari refused to do it. And then they saw the benefit of it. It's like, okay, maybe we'll join.
Yeah, and then the positive is they cover every team. So they'll cover Mercedes, and then they'll cover Haas, which is the worst team. And Haas is team principal, who's just this poor dude is just in hell. Every week he's so miserable. He just wants to die. There's one of the Haas episodes, the drivers kick his door down, and he goes and sends. He's like, get their ass back in here. They're not gonna kick my door down. It's just hilarious. So yeah, they cover every team, which also is part of what makes it good, is you get to know every single driver. And but the only not negative is, I think, is it's a season later, right?
Yeah, the new episodes always come out 9 months after the races happen.
So when Driver's Side comes back, I think it comes back in a couple weeks, it's gonna be last season. So it's you're a bit some of the drivers have changed teams since then. So there's been a bunch of driver changes compared to from last season compared to this season. Yeah, there's something for it. It really is you can find anything to do. If you want to be a loser and just cheer for Lewis Hamilton, well, you can do that. And by loser, I mean loser only because you're just choosing to root for the dude who wins all the time. I guess, though, now, if you want to root for a true psycho, you can root for Max Verstappen, who, say, if you'll get a kick out of this, Max Verstappen took Danny Kvyat's car. Danny Kvyat was driving for Red Bull, and eventually he wasn't doing so hot, so Red Bull's like, all right, you got to get out of the car. That's also the beauty of F1. They'll kick you out of the car in the middle of the season. They'll be like, yeah, you got to get out of there, man. I'm like, nope. Not cutting it. So Danny Kvyat gets kicked out of the car. They put Verstappen in. Verstappen's a phenom. I mean, his dad is a true, his dad's a legitimate psychopath. His dad is a full on crazy. And his dad's a former F1 driver. His dad is a former F1 driver, Jos Verstappen, who's a crazy person. I mean, this dude is legitimately a psychopath. So that's his dad. Max Verstappen was 17 years old when he makes his first F1 race, which is
wow.
And so, yeah, so Max Verstappen also kind of has a bit of a screw. So he takes Danny Kvyat's ride 5 or 6 years ago. And then a couple years ago, he takes Danny Kvyat's baby mama. And that's now his girl.
Oh.
And it's just wow, you're truly just crazy.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Oh, no.
And Max Verstappen, now he's the best driver. I mean, he's a crazy good racer, but he's definitely got a good.
He's the Novak Djokovic of Formula One.
I don't go that far. Novak Djokovic is truly just a god. I hate that guy. I didn't watch I watched 30 minutes combined of Wimbledon because I just cannot deal with rooting for Novak Djokovic is rooting for OPEC. It's just. I don't know. It's like rooting for BP or Halliburton. I don't know. It's yeah, they're successful, but why would you just who cares?
But at what cost? Yeah, I can root for them.
Exactly. At what cost? Yeah, you could go work for Halliburton, but do you really want to work for Halliburton? So actually sounds crazy. But then you can also you can be like me. My favorite driver is Fernando Alonso, who's maybe the best racer ever, but always finds a way to run for a really bad team. you could root for McLaren,
who Lando has, Norris, the Lando son of the 500 first richest man in Britain.
Everyone likes Lando Norris, and then once you really realize, God, this guy's kind of just a That sucks. Like, I don't like them. I don't like them. Not one bit. Like, yeah, there's truly only like three just like pure like Lewis Hamilton, Esteban Ocon, and Fernando Alonso. It's like the chaotic good, chaotic neutral, and like lawful good. Like Fernando Alonso is like chaotic good because he's, you know, like,
and then there's Charles Leclerc, which you think is good, but then you realize he's from Monaco, so you know he's loaded and he's just trying to hide it.
That's about all kind of legitimate. That dude was like poor. Like that dude, like legit. Like I'm talking, like that dude, like how that dude got into F1 is like amazing. That dude was poor.
Like, and on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have Nikita Mazepin.
Yeah, whose dad's like another guy. His dad's a Russian oligarch or something.
It's also Lance Stroll, whose dad
owns the team and always gives him a ride. It's like a nexus of nepotism, money, and drama that.
And we've really spent all this time and haven't even gotten into Terry Bodas. Valtteri Bottas
is Valtteri Bottas is you when you quit your job like 3 months ahead of time and just can't be arsed anymore. I hated the dude and now I'm like actually like I admire this. He just does not care anymore.
He becomes Spencer Hall's favorite driver.
He doesn't care anymore. Like the dude just does not care. He's just gonna, you know,
I'm here for the multi-million dollar paycheck.
He's like, y'all are getting rid of me, but until then, I'm going to do whatever the heck I want.
Sorry, it's James.
I firmly respect that he now just does not give a crap. And it rules. So, yeah. Formula One's great.
Formula One.
And if the racing could be great, like, if there's times where the racing has been great, and then there's other times where it's like just awful, but that's what's crazy about the Netflix series is like it gets people into it even though it's like fully up front. It's like if Lewis Hamilton leads going into turn one of the first lap, he will win the race. It's like, oh, okay.
Which car is Lewis?
So Lewis drives for Mercedes, and Mercedes has been so like Lewis Hamilton is. I mean, one, he's a good dude. Like I don't dislike Lewis Hamilton. There's nothing to dislike about Lewis Hamilton. He's just like wins all until this year at least. Like he joined Mercedes, and Mercedes got the new rules. Well, they had new rules in F1. They changed the rules every now and again, like in terms of like how you can make the car, what you could do with the car, and everything. And like he got to Mercedes, and I mean it's like Syracuse in like the 80s and 90s or whatever. You know, it's like what if I give you all the resources you need. And the best players, like, you know, you're gonna win a lot. So, yeah, Lewis drives for Mercedes. They're, for the most part, have been the best team for, like, 7 or 8 years. But this year, they, for whatever reason, they just haven't quite got the car right. And right now, the lead is, yeah, held by Red Bull and Max Verstappen. Is trying to win the world champ, I believe. He might still be the youngest world champion ever. I think it has to be this year. It might have already passed. I'm not sure. But yeah, Verstappen's he's like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon, where like the character gets like less crazy, and that's less fun. But he also gets better. So you know he's not as crazy as he used to be, but he's I guess even better of a racer. And that's pretty much it. Then after that, you've got. The rest of the season's kind of, it's not bad, but it's everyone's gearing up for the new car next year because that could completely flip the, there's no way of like knowing who's going to be good next year because they have a whole new car.
Surprise, it's Haas.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not going to be Haas or Williams or Alfa Romeo, but like, could it be Renault? It could be. Like, that's not like impossible. I mean, it won't be because, you know, poor Alonso, but like it could be, or maybe it could be McLaren. Like it's,
are you calling Renault by its old name? It's Alpine, remember?
Alpine, yeah, like a French luxury car brand.
Well, brother, Aston Martin.
Yeah, Aston, they just put that thing on the for. It's not Aston Martin.
Red Bull's a goddamn Honda. the fastest motor in the world is a Honda. Yeah. Same motor you get on your $21,000 Civic.
Well, that's the like fascinating thing about F1 is that it's like the car companies, like a lot of these are like there's this weird mix of like Ferrari, for example. Ferrari is literally just there to race. Like that's just what they do. Like, yeah, they sell cars, but Ferrari is an F1 because that's just literally all they've ever done is be an F1. Mercedes, though, is an F1 to sell cars.
Yeah.
But, Mercedes, you would think would be a long heart, but no, they're kind of new money, believe it or not. Like,
yeah, Mercedes is an F1 to sell cars. But these days, you know, people don't buy petrol cars anymore, you know, the way they used to. So Formula One is less about they used to turn those suckers. They used to turn those engines up.
Those V10s.
Yeah, like it was like, oh god, this rules. Now it's kind of like, oh okay,
car. They don't even refuel during the races anymore.
No, so yeah, like at some point they're gonna go electric. Like I don't know if it's gonna be 10 years, 20 years. Like at some point Formula One's gonna be electric, which won't be as fun, but you know, yeah. Back in the day when you know, like before the recession, when people were just like, hell yeah, I'll buy a friggin' you know, gas guzzling car. Like yeah, Formula One. Put V8s or V10s in there? God, those things.
The sounds they made are iconic.
Amazing. Like, the sound on the car is just unbelievable.
All right, so we covered soccer, we covered Formula One.
Gonna watch The Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah. What say you? Do we have time for an underrated, overrated?
Yeah.
Sure.
Why not?
Why not? I don't know what topics. Let's each come up with a topic and see which we would want to do the most.
Okay.
Party tunes, I guess, would be my pitch in. Ethan, Jake, what say you?
I was going to do, well, I saw Black Widow on Friday, so I was either going to do Marvel movies or I ate Popeyes for dinner tonight, so I was going to do favorite fast food chicken restaurants.
Oh.
So, those are my one. Either one of those works for me.
Safe, what's yours? Actually check on my mind. So I was thinking chicken sandwich rankings. So that's two votes for that one.
Hey, let's make it a clean sweep. Why not go with
Are we doing chicken sandwiches?
Yeah, go with chicken sandwiches. Yeah.
Okay. You gotta do it.
We'll start with overrated chicken sandwiches.
Oof.
Chick-fil-A. It's a good chicken sandwich, but it's not the best chicken sandwich. And, like, it's kind of regarded as the best chicken sandwich. So I have to say it's overrated. It's not the best chicken sandwich.
I think, just purely on the actual definition of overrated, like, how good is it compared to what is perceived? Then, yeah, I think you... Because, really, I mean, like, you don't need to have all the toppings on it, but, like, isn't Chick-fil-A's right? Isn't it? It's just that one pickle. Like, that's the only thing you get on. So, like, a little bit of flavor, you know, little sauce, you know, some secret sauce, something. But yeah, I think I'd go. I mean, I agree, Jake. It's a nice size. That's one thing I'd give it credit for.
It's a good sandwich.
I like it. Yeah, but it's.
Yeah, but yeah, if you're going by the definition of overrated.
Yeah, but like, if you're like you look like.
I just, like the definition, yeah.
Yeah, like when like before, like you hear people talk about a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, like, all right, my mind's gonna be blown. And I eat it, I'm like, all right, it's a good chicken sandwich, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's not the best.
I'm gonna lay it out on the table. And I know this is gonna offend Jake.
I mean, you go to hell. You hear me?
Go to hell. Are you gonna do it? I'm gonna be like, Jeff, go blue.
I hate to say it. But again, going by the definition of overrated, Very good sandwich, but maybe not up to the same hype. Popeyes. Chick-fil-A's overrated, too, by definition, too. But I don't know.
The sick man.
Popeyes, yeah.
You did
it's good,
it.
But it's not internet
you
falling
you
over.
Son of a bitch, you did it.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I will defend Popeyes, Jake. Let me jump in there. Because, your opinion is always valid. But I will give him credit. Like, it is, I think it is the biggest one of the major chicken, right? Like, so, quad in, it's like pretty good meat. I like the spicy one. Like, I was going to go properly rated. I wouldn't go put them overrated. But like, I was like, yeah, it actually is, it is that good. Like, it is legit. But no, I feel you. I guess my turn.
I think you said Chick-fil-A.
I was gonna go. I just want to give you. I guess
under,
an original one.
Underrated? You can do under. What's your underrated?
You do underrated. Yeah, start
on. Underrated. Okay. I don't want to go Shake Shack because that's too on brand. Okay, but that's obviously the winner. I'll stand up for McDonald's. Like they have a new spicy crispy chicken sandwich. That's actually pretty banging. Like I'm a big fan of spicy ones. Like doesn't have too much going on top, but just enough to if you like something besides the chicken. So I will go McDonald's underrated. I think listen, if McDonald's ever wanted to like really make money, like I think what they need to do, they need to like cut the menu maybe in half, turn like half the restaurants into like coffee shops, and like go hard into the chicken market, unless into. I'm going long on McDonald's.
McDonald's can do whatever they like. I trust McDonald's implicitly.
Fries, absolutely.
I think me and Ryan have talked about this before. Like I trust them implicitly. I just like absolutely. You want to throw something at me. I will take your word for it that it's good.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to go underrated Mickey D's. Mickey D's chicken sandwiches. And they have a good, they got a couple ones. If you like grilled, you can get that. I mean, other places have that too, but I always feel like McDonald's has like two or three, maybe four different types of sandwiches that you can choose from.
I will go for Royal Farms.
Underrated?
Underrated, yeah. Like in general, Royal Farms chicken is extremely underrated. Mostly because people just haven't like it's you know it's only in like Maryland and then I think Virginia. It's in the Mid Atlantic, but predominantly most of the locations are in Maryland. But yeah, I think Royal Farms is really good. They just slap a piece of chicken on there. It's like go ahead, man. And I'm like okay, it's good enough for me. Royal Farms especially hits like when like as like the gas station ones when you're just driving on the road it's like huh chicken you just go get it oh man that hits the spot.
I will have to keep that in my back of my head if I'm ever traveling to Maryland or Virginia.
If you're driving down the highway and you see a sign for Royal Farms just pull over and do it.
Royal is pretty like there used to be a Royal Farms right on I think it was like 33rd and St. Paul like at Hopkins and I definitely. Frequented at that place late night many a times. It's, very good. I think they are starting. People just don't know as soon as they hear about it, then and they like check one out. It's like,
I think Spencer Hall like wrote about it when he ranked like chicken restaurants, and he's like, man, it's just chicken. Like it's just you just want some chicken. Here you go. Yeah. Not anything fancy. It's just
and I'm guessing because it's in the same territory of the Wawa versus Sheetz wars that it might get shuffled aside a little bit. I guess.
They're
starting to come to Jersey. This is like a South Jersey one. I think at least one or two. I remember I saw a couple of articles in parts of Atlantic City.
I think they're getting up into your neck of the woods too.
Huh. I know Quick Check is starting to come up here. So I'll have to be on the lookout for Royal Farms. I'm surprised the Wawa Sheets Wars haven't come to Long Island yet. But then again, Wegmans still hasn't made its way onto Long Island for the supermarket wars. So we'll see on that too. For my underrated one, is it all right if I go with one that's defunct?
Sure.
Of course.
The KFC Doublelicious.
Is that the meat on meat one?
Yeah, the one where the chicken is the buns with the bacon. And something about that sauce. Like, it was a heart attack without a bun. But it was pretty darn good. I mean,
that was definitely the one moment when I was like, we're definitely straying further and further from God.
This shouldn't exist, but I damn, it's actually pretty tasty. So I mean, I'll give that an underrated because yeah, it's a complete abomination, but pretty darn good. Favorite chicken sandwich.
Well, I will not. I'm a man of culture and a man of honor, so I will not disrespect the Popeye's chicken sandwich. And yes, it is indeed the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Look, it's just a simple Popeye's makes the best chicken, and it's Popeye's chicken. Also, and as Safe said, they give you the most, you know, like it's the most dense. Like they give you the most chicken per like sandwich that you're gonna get. Like no one's giving you, like you're just getting Popeye's chicken and you're getting the most of it. And so yeah, it slaps. It's the best one. Also because you can get it with a biscuit. And that, you know, that helps as well. So yes, Popeye's is my favorite chicken sandwich, fast food chicken sandwich.
My favorite, I'm going to go with the Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich. Nice and juicy, gives a nice little kick of heat, but without going too far. Never go wrong with a Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich, and always a go-to whenever I'm at Wendy's. You know, Wendy's, I think we discussed this, Jake, probably best bang for the buck out of your fast food establishments. You can't go wrong with their burgers. Can't go wrong with their chicken. You can go wrong with their fries.
Underrated? They got an underrated chicken sandwich too. Like Wendy's is pretty good. Yeah, you're right, Ryan.
You can't go wrong unless the fries you could go wrong at Wendy's.
Wendy's is definitely the two best bang for your buck is truly the best one. Even though I haven't had the chance yet to devour it, but based on just, you know, word of mouth, and then apparently what you get for what you pay is Cookout.
Yes, I've heard about there, that.
You can get like a quesadilla, nuggets, and a corn dog for like $5.
Yeah.
It's like, shit. I mean, like.
Yeah, and apparently they're growing. It might hit Maryland pretty soon, the rate they're expanding, so.
Yeah, so like, based on what it's saying, yeah, a Cookout is the best. But after that, a Wendy's and Taco Bell. I've gotten more into Taco Bell lately, and I'm like, yeah, man, I get sometimes a quesadilla and like two tacos and chips, and I pay like $10. Jeez, man, that's like talk about a good deal. And there's no better symmetry between drink and meal than Taco Bell and the Baja Blast.
Yes.
Like it just now again. Can you do the Baja Blast without Taco Bell? Not really, but when you do it paired together, nothing pairs better than whatever you're getting from Taco Bell and the Baja Blast. So yeah, Wendy's is definitely a good bang for your buck, and then Taco Bell as well. Mm-hmm. Safe. What is your favorite chicken sandwich?
Yeah. One is pulled trigger of Popeyes because I think also. Cost benefit analysis. I think it's right one of the cheaper ones. And so you're literally
I think the size.
Popeye's not really spending a lot of money.
$8, $9.
Yeah, like and that's you get like proper. But I gotta go with Shake Shack. I gotta go with their Chicken Shack sandwich. They used to have a really good spicy one, but I haven't seen it there anymore. They definitely like easily just so casually bump Chipotle, you know, as like my go-to when I'm in a city and I just want to. It used to be the burrito, but definitely just Shake Shack. You know, see that green and white sign. I know I'm in a safe place. So, and the chicken and like underrated, the fries are pretty good too. Shake Shack, not McDonald's level.
Shake Shack is great. It just costs too damn much.
Yeah.
No. Oh,
yeah,
I went there.
Dropped like $17 on a burger, fries, and
it hits you in the wallet.
No, that's why it's like,
go to Five Guys these days and spend the money. And
I don't know. I think Shake Shack is more.
Well, I'm saying, but at least you feel satisfied after eating Shake Shack, whereas Five Guys, you now feel disappointed with how much you spend there to what you
get. I don't know. I still do.
Thing with Shake Shack, I skip the shakes, I skip the drink. I just usually just go in, grab fries and the chicken sandwich, and you know, I'll have like a water or something with me or something. So that's like, yeah, no, you're right. It's ridiculous. It's like blood money where you're giving them. This is like so expensive. But like,
it's the most Manhattanite fast food establishment. The prices are high. They're playing hipster music the entire time. It is Manhattan as a fast food establishment.
There's a couple of ones in Philly. You know, like you can eat outside, and this one right by Rittenhouse Square is one of my go-tos. And then this other one close to where I used to live on 13. But yeah,
no. It's just like, if you could just give me five, if you could just let me walk home with five more dollars, I'd feel good.
Five more dollars,
and this would hit perfectly. Yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a freaking burger, and yeah, the fries are very good. But the problem is that I would feel better about the money I pay if you gave me more. Like they don't give you enough fries. Like Five Guys, look. Yes, I'm paying, but I was also like, man, I'm going to give you the entire freaking thing of fries.
Yeah.
What is he going to give you? Seven potatoes that we just like cut up.
You want to pay $4 for fries? I'm going to give you $4 worth of fries. Even more. I'll give you $8 worth of fries.
Right. Yeah, they at least fill the bag filled with fries.
Like, they fill that freaking bag. Shake Shack, though, is like, I'm like, that's it?
Man. They just give you three potatoes to go. Just in case you want some, you know.
All right, curious to hear least favorite.
I have to think. Right?
You want me to go first?
Yes, go ahead, please.
7-Eleven.
7-Eleven has a chicken sandwich?
Yeah, and it was terrible.
7-Eleven, you got to know what you're going in for. The day of the Maryland Notre Dame game, when the game went, and then we did the podcast, and then I don't think I had a chance to eat because I was so hyped up. I walked to 7-Eleven at, 10 o'clock, and they had, 10 wings for $5, and I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, were the wings great? No, but I got 10 wings for $5. Like, 7-Eleven is just purely, it's purely cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah.
it's purely, what am I paying?
Yeah, I
did not know they had a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, but I mean, 7-Eleven, you got a hot dog there, it's decent. But the chicken sandwich itself just didn't taste good. It did not taste like what a chicken sandwich should. So
I didn't know they had.
And I'm a bit disappointed too, because again, 7-Eleven's good in a pinch, but the chicken sandwich was, not good. So I'll go with the 7-Eleven chicken sandwich as my least favorite chicken sandwich.
I'll go in that same vein, Ryan, and maybe I'll get kicked out of the Magic Mid-Atlantic Circle. But Wawa's chicken sandwiches not that great. And I think I've had plenty of Wawa chicken sandwiches in my life, but it feels like, you know, it's kind of like late night type thing with your buddies after.
Yeah.
And just to also hear I like the sauce, I feel like, more than I like the sandwich, because the chicken is always kind of hit or miss, and that's being gentlemanly about it. But that's definitely my least favorite.
So, Safe, out of curiosity, do you find Wawa overrated? Because I feel like every Long Islander that I knew that went to school in Jersey found that Wawa was overrated.
You know, again, this is a safe place, but a little bit, just a limited, big fan of water, big water guy. You guys know that. First thing I got in my apartment was this water filter thing. But they only have two brands of water. When you go in, I feel like you get better selection at 7-Eleven. And I just feel like it's too much of Eastern PA connection. I love Tasty Cake, but and hers and stuff, but it's just it just seems like, you just seem like you get more variety at 7-Eleven. It's definitely way better than CVS. But I know those different things. CVS giving you more of a pharmacy vibe. But the snack section, Wawa's probably better. But it is a little Wawa, the sandwiches too.
I love the snack options they give you, and I like the breakfast options. But their actual food, I got like an appetizer or something type thing from there. I think it was like maybe mozzarella sticks or something. Like, because I was just, it was, I don't know what it was. It was like 4 o'clock. I'm like, yeah, I was going to the Wawa's by the Walmart. And you know, like when you're going to Walmart, like, I gotta prepare for this. So I'm like, I'm gonna be in here a while. Might as well get something to eat beforehand. And then like I took one bite of that crap and I'm like, oh my god, this is abominable. I'm like, this stinks. And like again, like 7-Eleven, I don't expect the food to be like great, but most of the time when I eat it, I'm like, all right, it's fine. You know, like that was one of those like I only paid like $3 for this, but I should have paid like 10 cents. This is awful. Their actual food options, like doing. Like, and I think that's like their thing. It's like they have more food options, but the actual food options just do not.
Yeah, like I think I went to Wawa when I was visiting my friend at Monmouth one time, and I wasn't blown away by it.
Woman at Monmouth? Isn't your friend a Monmouth woman because you know women?
No, he was a guy.
Gotta bring back the hits.
Yes. It was decent, but it's like. So I go to him because he moved to Manalapan, New Jersey, after high school. So he was in the area, and we were going back to his place in Manalapan for a bit. And it's like, is Wawa really what everyone in Jersey says it is? And he's like, nah, not really. It's kind of like on par with some of the places on Long Island in terms of convenience stores. Like your local deli's better than the Wawa deli. So. And people stand for Wawa. Like, they will fight you to the death if you say anything.
Yeah, they're into that.
I think, like, the quality has gone down there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it probably was. Their coffee's good. I'll give that. Definitely big. That should be our next. I don't know. You guys coffee drinkers?
I don't drink.
I just had seemed like you guys were. But yeah, they definitely have pretty good coffee, especially they have like an Ethiopian blend. But yeah, no, it's just definitely not. Like, I think if you compare it to Ropo, like chicken alone, like if you had more Ropos in Jersey, I'd definitely visit that probably more than I would.
Yeah, Ropo.
Because I can get what I want, like the waters and the snacks or whatever. But I was like, yeah, they just have actually just better. Maybe they don't have the wide variety, Jake, as you accurately noted, but like what they do, they knock it out of the park.
I'm curious to hear what Jake's least favorite one is.
Honestly, I think it's just that I don't really have like a particular one, but like just like a Burger King, KFC, just like that entire the just beneath the like top tier, you know, your McDonald's, Popeyes, you know, like fast food chains, all of them. Yeah, they're not bad, but it's just like, yeah, like Ryan said, it's just they don't do for me what a chicken sandwich should do.
Yeah, I haven't tried Burger King's new one. Burger King's old one wasn't that good. I haven't tried the new one though that they've been advertising.
Yeah, like I think Sonic's going too. I think I've had it before. It's it's not bad. But it's just like, yeah, they just don't do what a chicken sandwich. Compared to like the high end of the marketplace, they're not, not doing for me what they should.
All right, so that'll just about do it, unless we have any other final topics to talk about.
Schreiber and Lyle are going at it in this game on NBCSN. Is pretty fun.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but other than that, no, I think this was a quality way to spend 80 minutes of our time.
Yeah, well, again, later on in the week we've got a big episode coming. We hope you join us.
Think of this as just your
appetizer.
Think of like these shows as your 5 p.m. at the bar, and then like the show on Thursday is your 2 o'clock in the newsroom with the press hat and the thing.
Exactly.
Like these are just like if you want to listen to it, that's great, but we're just here to talk. Yeah, like on Thursday, yeah, we got a special guest for you. That's College Crosscast. This is just the lads. Just shoot the shit.
Follow us as always at college_cross on Twitter. You can also follow me at RyanMcD29.
At Jake_Razan. That is Razan.
And at Erie_Barrister.
And we'll catch you a little bit later on in the week. It's going to be a hot one. So, as usual, stay hydrated.
Thank you much for present.